Yeah, but I also know that both of us have publicly said that, because you know, one of the misconceptions about people that are in Glaser Kennedy is that they figure out a way to make a lot of money without working. And both of us have publicly denied that, and both of us work hard. And was it Mark Victor Hansen that said that most people don't work?
Yeah.
And that is that's a big problem with, because, you know, when I see people that are not as successful as they should be, it's because they're not putting in the effort and energy in order to be successful.
Yeah, and there's really, you know, people pick out, sort of like taking the one of the Ten Commandments that they like, people like will pick out a sentence from something and turn that into the entire gospel. So you'll have thrown at you a lot, you know, the Gerber thing from E-Myth. You should spend all your time working on your business, not in your business. And actually, he didn't say all your time. So you'll have that thrown at you. Well, I don't work in my business anymore. I work on my business. And usually when you then go look at their business, internally it's a disaster because they're paying no attention to it whatsoever. The inmates have been turned loose to run the asylum. And that generally will lead either to bankruptcy, prison, or a combination thereof at some point in time. And of course, you should be working on your business more than in your business. Millions of dollars are not to be made stocking shelves. But when you totally ignore the micromanagement of the business and focus only on the macro management of the business, at some point in time there won't be any business to macro manage. And so you see this sort of thing over and over and over again, where people pick one little thing and take it to an extraordinary extreme to the exclusion of other success factors, principles, and behaviors. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of rich people, and I don't know any of them who aren't working, and actually aren't working a lot, including people in their 70s and their 80s and even their 90s. Now, they do work smarter than poor people. They definitely work differently than poor people, and they tend to work at least in part by choice, maybe some by compulsion, but in part by choice rather than purely by economic necessity. But by God, they work. I mean, if you look at, you know, we just had Ivanka on the, as you, Trump at the super conference, and I already knew it. You did too. We knew it from Rancic and Christie and whatever. But when we were talking in the green room before she went on, you know, either I or Carl, I forget which, asked her, you know, whether she actually enjoyed doing the show. And her answer was careful. But the gist of the answer was she enjoys it a little. She appreciates its brand-building value a lot. But it is an extraordinary inconvenience and disruption to more directly valuable productivity. And so they all go to great extremes to try and counter that. So, for example, the boardroom scene you see on TV, they had that boardroom, Trump had that boardroom, built in the Trump Tower, in his office building. So that set was built so he can walk out the back door, get in the elevator, get back to his office, come from his office, get in the elevator, come down there, step right in, shoot that thing, and step right back out the back door. As opposed to driving across town to a studio, or God forbid, flying across the country to a studio. And so that's to facilitate work. That's what that is. And lesser entrepreneurs might actually welcome the excuse of that distraction and sacrifice a lot more time to it than is necessary.
I want to talk now about attitudes, and specifically about attitudes about time, because, you know, in your book, OBS Time Management, you allude to that. And so What do you believe to be like the most important attitudes about time and related matters like implementation and accomplishment and, you know, and that we've sort of like pointed to like peak performers and other high achievers, you know, that they sort of gravitate to, but what are some of the attitudes that about time that some people actually lack?
There's three I talk to people about all the time. One is what I would call goal or target orientation, the linkage of time to targets. Always you're either working from your agenda, other people's agenda, or no agenda. And most people have almost all of their time divided between the last two, not the first. Most people's work on their agenda pretty much dissolves sometime during the first hour of every day, and their day's taken over by other people's agenda or literally bouncing around with no agenda. And so the use of targets, the establishment of targets, and not just long-term, not just medium-term, not short-term, but per day, per hour, per project, per appointment, per everything. I think this is a sort of a different attitude toward the linkage of time to goals than most people have. Second, very much connected to it would be what I call results orientation, which said another way is commitment to measurement. And it's a disciplined approach to thinking about time, just like it is a disciplined approach to thinking about advertising, which is, do you want to measure it or do you not want to measure it? And quite frankly, there's a lot of people who would rather not measure. But people who are really highly productive and exceptionally successful have a different attitude about measurement, and they're committed to it, and they really, one way or another, they want to try and measure the effectiveness of whatever they're doing on as current a basis as is possible. So